Friends, what a joy it is to have you join us here for worship, here at St. Stephen's in beautiful Qualicum Beach, on this second Sunday after Pentecost. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? Let us gather in the presence of the one who brings us light and life. As we come together in this sacred space, may the love of Christ be our guiding force. With hearts open and spirits lifted, let us worship our God, who is always with us, always for us, and always ahead of us. Friends, as we remember that Christ is here around us, with us, let us light the Christ candle, remembering those things. Let us worship in prayer. Gracious God, we have come before you in gratitude and humility, remembering the covenant promises you have made with us and with those who have come before us. You have called us to be your people and you have promised to be our God. May we be faithful to our covenant with you, loving and serving you and one another. May your Holy Spirit guide us, inspire us, and empower us to live as your people in this world. We pray in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen. We come to the throne of God, trusting and confident in his mercy. Let us pray together the prayer of confession. O God, our King and our Maker, forgive us when we try to make you in our image. Forgive us when we turn to earthly rulers for the wisdom and strength you have already shown us. Fulfill your purpose in us that we may be your people, reflectors of your glory, your temples upon this earth, your sisters and brothers in love and mercy. We ask this in trust and hope, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Even when we break trust, even when we wander, even when we wonder if we've gone too far, the voice of God speaks louder than our failure. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will never leave you or forsake you. In Jesus Christ, we are not abandoned. We are forgiven. We are called again. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Our first reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make you an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. The next reading is from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. The Lord did not set his heart on you and choose you, because you were more numerous than the other nations. For you were the smallest of all nations. Rather, it was simply that the Lord loves you, and he was keeping the oath he had sworn to your ancestors. That is why the Lord rescued you with such a strong hand from your slavery and from the oppressive hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Reading this morning is from the second book of Kings. King Hazael of Aram had oppressed Israel during the entire reign of King Jehoaz. But the Lord was gracious and merciful to the people of Israel, and they were not totally destroyed. He pitied them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to this day, he still has not completely destroyed them or banished them from his presence. King Hazael of Aram died, and his son Ben-Hadad became the next king. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
There are few wounds deeper than being given up on. We've all felt it. I felt it. That moment when we realize that someone has written us off. Maybe someone decided we weren't worth the effort. They stopped calling. They stopped showing up. They let go of us, and it left a scar. Or maybe we were on the other side. We broke trust. We made a mistake. And now we're haunted by the question, can this be repaired? Can we ever be trusted again? Or perhaps someone made a promise and didn't keep it. And now the word promise feels more like a warning than a comfort. And sometimes, if we're honest, the disappointment isn't just with people. It's with God. We prayed. We hoped. We tried to trust. But the healing didn't come. The answer never arrived. The silence was deafening. And we wonder, did God give up on me too? If any of that resonates with you, hear this. God doesn't give up. He keeps his promises always. Even when we fail, even when we walk away, God remains faithful, steady, unchanging. In fact, God doesn't just make promises. He doesn't require performance-based contracts. He makes covenants. Not casual, not temporary, but deep, lasting promises. More faithful than we could ever be. And he keeps them, even when we don't. Just listen to what that sounds like. Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come. Take your choice of wine and milk. It's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. What kind of God says that? What kind of God throws open his arms to thirsty people with nothing to offer? A God of covenant love. That's grace. That's our God. This isn't just poetic language. It's the heartbeat of God's relationship with his people, then and now. This isn't about abstract theology. This is a lived experience of Scripture. Story after story of failure met by faithfulness, of unbroken promises met by unbreakable grace. God doesn't respond out of sentiment. He responds out of covenant. An often overlooked but decisive moment in Scripture shows us just how far God will go to honor his covenant, even when his people do not. It's a surprising moment in Israel's history, a moment when God shows up in covenant love, even though his people have done nothing to deserve it. Let's set the scene. It's roughly 600 years after God rescued Israel from Egypt, after the Red Sea, Sinai, and the Ten Commandments. Just under 200 years have passed since King David ruled over a united kingdom with strength, justice, and worship at its heart. And it's been about 100 years since the civil war that split Israel into two nations, Judah in the south and Israel in the north. We're now deep in the period of decline for the northern kingdom of Israel. King Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, is on the throne. His rule is marked by idolatry, compromise, and failure. The book of Kings says plainly, "But he did what was evil in the Lord's sight. He followed the example of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, continuing the sins that Jeroboam had led Israel to commit. He led the people not into strength, but into ruin. There was no spiritual renewal, no military reform, no economic revival. But understand, it wasn't just a political failure. It was a spiritual catastrophe. For generations, Israel had been walking away from God. They had experienced his miraculous deliverance from Egypt. They had witnessed his provision in the wilderness. They had seen his power in conquering the promised land. And yet, slowly, steadily, they chose convenience over conviction. They chose cultural acceptance over covenant faithfulness. By Jehoahaz's time, it wasn't just that they had forgotten God's law. They had rewritten it. They had created a version of faith that looked religious but had no transformative power. They didn't just forget God, they distorted him. Jehoahaz continued in the sins of Jeroboam, which means he led Israel into the worship of the golden calves at Bethel and Dan, man-made images claiming to represent the God who rescued them from Egypt. It was worship on their terms, convenient, political, and corrupted. They appointed priests that weren't Levites. They built shrines, celebrated fake festivals. It looked religious, but it was hollow. They claimed God's name, but their loyalty was divided. And yet, God didn't abandon them. He remembered his covenant. Israel was overrun by its enemy, Aram, led by King Hazael. The oppression was relentless. Military raids, political humiliation, national despair. How bad was it? Israel's army, once the terror of nations under David and Solomon, was down to 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, and only 10,000 foot soldiers. From superpower to barely surviving, that's not an army. It's what's left after total defeat. Jehoahaz eventually prayed, but only after his army had been decimated. And even then, he continued in his same sins. It'd be logical to think, that's it. God's done with them. They broke covenant. They turned to idols. They ignored warning after warning. But here's what's remarkable about this moment. The Lord was gracious and merciful to the people of Israel, and they were not totally destroyed. He was compassionate because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to this day, he still has not completely destroyed them or banished them from his presence. God's response wasn't because of Jehoahaz's prayer. It was because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So how did God demonstrate his covenant faithfulness? He showed compassion, not just because Israel repented, but because God's heart is anchored in covenant love. The text says he acted not based on merit, but because of the promises he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't destroy them. Despite their rebellion and decline, God preserved a remnant. He refused to banish them from his presence. In a world of conditional relationships, God's love remained unconditional. He began to restore. Through Jehoahaz's son, Joash, God allowed victories that reclaimed the towns lost to Aram. This wasn't a reward, but it was restoration rooted in covenant faithfulness. Even when people are faithless, God remains faithful. And this isn't just about Israel, it's about us. Have you ever had someone show you grace when you didn't deserve it? Not because you apologized well, not because you fixed it, but just because they chose to love you anyway. That's what this moment is. The people didn't repent, they didn't return, but God still showed up. Why? Because he made a covenant, and he never gives up. This kind of love doesn't fit the world's logic. In our world, broken trust leads to closed doors. But in God's world, covenant opens a way back. This is the kind of love that keeps the porch light on, that waits, watches, doesn't flinch at the heartbreak. And when the lost child finally returns, there's no lecture. It's just a feast. That's what God is like. So what kind of love is this? This love that holds on, even when we don't. A faithfulness that endures, even when we forget. A covenant, not a contract, not a performance-based agreement, but a deep, divine promise anchored in the character of God himself. What exactly is a covenant? And why does it matter? Not just for ancient Israel, but for us today. The whole Bible is a story based on covenants, sacred commitments between God and his people that form the backbone of the entire biblical narrative. From Noah's promise never to abandon the earth, to Abraham's promise to bless all nations, to Moses at Sinai and David on the throne, we see a thread running through Scripture, God making a way back for us. But here's the tension. Humans fail again and again. Each covenant revealed both God's heart and our inability to keep the relationship whole. God makes covenants not because we are faithful, but because he is. An unforgettable covenant moment happens in Genesis 15. God offers his promise to bless Abraham's family and through them to bless the whole of creation. To seal the covenant, he tells Abraham to prepare animals for a sacred covenant ceremony. Abraham knows what this means. He's done this before in his culture. After the cattle were cut up in pieces and laid on either side of the path, both parties would walk between the pieces of the sacrificed animals. Both would be making the same vow. If I break this covenant, may what happened to these animals happen to me. It's pretty sobering. Abraham prepares everything. The animals are cut. The pieces are arranged. The path is ready. And then something shocking happens. Abraham falls sound asleep. Instead of both parties walking between the pieces, only God passes through, alone. In that moment, God is saying, not only am I committed to keeping my part of the promise, but if you break this covenant, I'll bear the cost. Even if you fail, I'll keep the promise. Even if you walk away, I'll find a way back to you. This is a God who doesn't give up, not because Abraham was faithful, but because God is. Centuries later, Jesus would do exactly the same thing. He would bear the cost of the covenant that we couldn't keep. And that leads us to the heart of the good news of Jesus. The fulfillment of that covenant tapestry is Jesus. After generations of wandering, rebellion, broken promises, God doesn't revoke his love. Instead, he comes in person. Jesus is the covenant partner that we could never be. In Jesus, God keeps both sides of the promise. He fulfills the law and forgives the failure. He promises the cost and offers the gift. In Jesus, the covenant isn't merely extended. It's redefined in resurrection life, now open to all peoples and all nations, not just Israel. This covenant doesn't just rescue us. It remakes us. It isn't simply mercy for the moment, but a relationship that transforms who we are becoming. Jesus didn't just renew the covenant. He is the covenant made flesh. But covenant isn't just theological. It's lived. It has to be lived. And what does that covenant love look like in real life in someone like us? Frail, flawed, sometimes afraid. Let's look at Peter. He swore he'd never leave Jesus. Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will, he says in Matthew. Peter was confident, loyal, maybe even a bit brash, ready to fight with swords if necessary. And then in Jesus' darkest hour, when Jesus needed him most, Peter denied even knowing him 3 times, by a charcoal fire, to a servant girl, to people who posed no real threat. Each denial became more vehement. I don't know the man, he said, with curses and oaths. Then the rooster crowed. Peter remembered Jesus' prediction. The text says he went out and wept bitterly. That's covenant failure in real time. But after Jesus' resurrection, he didn't scold him. He didn't bring up the denials. He didn't lecture him about his loyalty. Instead, he meets them on the beach and cooks them breakfast by another charcoal fire. And in that moment, I'm sure the smell of charcoal probably brought back the memory of failure. But Jesus was creating a new memory. 3 times Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" 3 times Peter affirms his love. 3 restorations for 3 denials. "Feed my sheep," Jesus says to Peter. He didn't just forgive Peter, he entrusts him again with a new mission to lead the kingdom and the early church. This restoration isn't new. Centuries before Peter, Abraham also failed God's test. He lied about Sarah, took matters into his own hands with Hagar, laughed at God's promises. But God didn't give up on Abraham either. Instead, he renewed his covenant promise over and over again. The same God who showed covenant faithfulness to rebellious Israel, who walked alone through the covenant pieces for Abraham, who restored Peter after his denial, this same God extends his covenant love to us all. So, if you've been given up on, or if you've given up on others, if you've broken promises or lived with the pain of promises broken, if in your quietest moments you've wondered not just where are they, but where is God? If you've asked, has he given up on me? This is the good news. God has not given up on us. He never has. He never will. If we're carrying shame, God's covenant love meets us there, not to excuse the failure, but to restore the relationship. If we're struggling to trust, remember that God's faithfulness isn't dependent on our faith. His covenant love stands firm, even when our hearts waver. If we've given up on someone, ask God to give you just a glimpse of his covenant heart. Maybe it's time to put that porch light on. If you feel abandoned by God, know that silence is not absence. Delay is not denial. God is working, even when you can't see it. He plays the long game. So join me in the struggle. Join me in the long game. Not because you've earned it, not because we've performed well enough, but because it's who he is. God doesn't give up. He always keeps his promises, always. And in Jesus, he made the ultimate promise that nothing, not failure, not fear, not even death, can separate us from his love. That's covenant. That's grace. That's the God who never gives up. Amen?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thank you.
Hello. Please join me in these, the prayers of the people. Gracious God, your amazing love extends through all time and space, to all parts of your creation, which you created and called good. You made a covenant with Noah and his family, putting a rainbow in the sky to symbolize your promise of love and blessing to every living creature and to all successive generations. You made a covenant with Abraham and Sarah, blessing them and their descendants throughout the ages. You made a covenant with Moses and the Israelite people to all generations, giving them the Ten Commandments and challenging them to choose life. In Jesus, you invite us to enter into a new covenant in communion with all who seek to be faithful to you. As people of faith, we are called into covenant. Your covenant of faithfulness and love extends to the whole creation. We pray for the healing of the earth, that present and future generations may enjoy the fruits of creation and continue to glorify and praise you. You are free, Lord. Your ascension has set you free, free from the constraints of human existence, outside the limitations of time and space, free to be here with us now in our worship and fellowship, and free to be with us always, for in your freedom, you have bound yourself to us with the promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of time." We pray, Lord, for those who need to feel you're close, who need the assurance of your love, the encouragement of your spirit. We pray for those who are persecuted, who are discriminated against, who are mocked because of their faith or race or color. We pray for those who are imprisoned, who are tortured, who are exiled, because they have fought, struggled, and spoken out for the rights of their people. We pray for those who are destitute, who are hungry, who are refugees, because of the selfishness and apathy of the world. We pray for those who are filled with guilt, who are brokenhearted, who are perplexed because a relationship has gone wrong. We pray for those who are feeling fed up, who are in discomfort, who are afraid, who are dying because they are ill in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for those who are numbed, who are angry, who are desolate because they have been bereaved. We pray for those caught up in war and violence and hatred, especially the innocent victims of these evils. We pray at this time of economic uncertainty for those who have lost jobs, for those who struggle to pay bills, and those who have the power to affect positive change. Be with us all, Lord, in all our daily struggles as we seek to follow you. Be with us all, Lord, in our periods of doubt and despair, and in our times of happiness, health, and loving. Be with us all, Lord, until that time when in your kingdom of love, our joy will know no end. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We thank you again for all the ways that you give to the work of God here at St. Stephen's. Let's pray together over all the gifts that have been given this week. Lord of life, you promise abundant life to all who live together in Christ. We offer these gifts as a sign of our desire to share our resources for the common good and building of your kingdom. We humbly ask that you use them to strengthen our unity and deepen our witness and healing presence in our lives. in this needy world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, if you've been given up on, or given up on others, if you've broken promises or lived with the pain of promises broken, and even in your quietest moments, if you've wondered, has God given up on me? Go with this good news. God has not given up on you. He never has. He never will. May you go in the grace of the one who restores, the love of the one who pursues, and the power of the one who will never let go. Amen.